All right, thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, you're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI, WBAI.org on the web. Coming up next, Vantage Point with Professor Ron Daniels.
Good morning. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer at York College, City University of New York, welcoming you to this May 7th edition, fun drive edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network, brought to you in conjunction with ycradio.org. That's the York College radio station. That's where I am serving as distinguished lecturer for a little while longer. Not too much longer, but a little while longer. First and foremost, we want to talk about WBAI buddies. I'm embarrassed after having been in the forefront of this buddy movement of ending solitary sort of loneliness, as our chief announcer was talking about. I looked at a compilation of WBAI buddies from last week, and I ain't get none. Everybody else had some but me. Now, I don't like that, so we got to get some WBAI buddies up in here. Now, during the course of this program, I'd like to get at least five WBAI buddies. No matter what else we're doing, and we're going to talk about our premium in a minute, we want five WBAI buddies today. Five out of the hundreds, thousands of people who are friends and associates. Five WBAI buddies, which means for as little as $10 a month, if you can afford it. And there are many, many, many people who can. Some can't. We understand that. The question is, how to tap into those out there, many of whom have never pledged before, never become involved in, for I'm looking for you. I am looking for you. I am anxious to have you tap in just $10 a month. Comes out of your saving account or your credit card, most likely your credit card. And it's painless. I'm a WBAI buddy because I never really ask people to do that which I'm not prepared to do. So I'm a WBAI buddy. It just happens. And it's good because it sustains the station. And I'm glad we're pushing it hard. More and more people are signing up. But I don't want to be lagging behind. I want to be in the forefront. So we're looking for five WBAI buddies today. So you go to give2wbai.org. Anytime during the course of the program, give2wbai.org, and you sign up. And you can do $10, you can do $25, you can do $100. Do as much as you can afford, and we'd be profoundly thankful for that. Before we go to our premium, I just want to also, and I'll make this announcement several times, as I talked about, we dedicated our whole program last week to York College, a tribute to York College, because I am ending my tenure as distinguished lecturer there after 10 very productive and fruitful years. I'm retiring as a distinguished lecturer at York College, City University of New York. I am not, however, retiring from the movement. I really want to focus more time on actually producing my program better here at WBAI, and of utmost importance, strengthening and building the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. But we're inviting and hopeful that you will join us for a celebratory final lecture, my final lecture as York College is a distinguished lecturer on May 17th. That's May 17th, 6 o'clock p.m. in the evening at the Performing Arts Center at York's College. And you can get that information on our website, ibw21.org. It's free and open to the public. There'll be a reception, and then I'm going to do my lecture. My final lecture, finishing the towards a more perfect union, finishing the unfinished black freedom struggle. We're hoping that many of our friends and And just folks from the community who are concerned, you know, will come out and from the audience and just have a great time as I complete a tenure, a very productive tenure at York College. Now today our premium is none other than, is the person that we're focusing on, is none other than Dr. John Henry Clark. And the premium is African People in World History. African People in World History. It's a two CD set at just $75. Two CD set at $75. Now I want five. I'm challenging my audience today. I want five WBAI buddies. And I'm gonna get ambitious. I want 30 people during the course of the next 2 hours to get this premium, because we need it. The more I study and examine the condition we're in today, including the classes I'm teaching. I was reading some material early this morning, getting ready for my class today, and I said, goodness gracious, what a predicament we still are in. Just came from a retreat with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century Black Family Summit and a board member, and we board meeting. And the more we looked at it, God, how much we need the thinking of Dr. John Henry Clark. We are in a crisis. We're doing better, some of us, than we ever thought we would. But in total, when we look at what has happened to black people, with gentrification taking over, still have mass incarceration, and even as they're beginning to end some forms, they're going into different forms. This is not over. They're just bouncing us around like some commodities that can be used and abused and discarded and disrespected. We've got to get ourselves more righteously angry and passionate about justice, and none better than to teach us about that than Dr. John Henry Clark. And so we have joining us two guests who will be helping to tee up the conversation and we'll be listening to the premium later on and during the show. But I'm delighted that we have our Paramount Chief joining us for a few minutes to help us talk about Dr. John Henry Clark. And that's none other than Dr. Leonard Jeffries, who is many, many, many things, but among other things, the president of the World African Diaspora Union, WADU. Dr. J, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, welcome to Vantage Point.
Well, Dr. D, it's always a great pleasure for me to join you in the various endeavors that you and others have decided to put together to help us move forward. So, again, this is one of those occasions. I'm sorry. I have to apologize. I'll miss May the 17th. I've been ordered to go to Las Vegas to deal with the celebration for Malcolm X there. So I will miss your 17th presentation. But they tape everything, and I'll be able to get it, feel it, see it, and see you continue to rise.
Right, absolutely. Well, let's get into our conversation, because I've asked you and the next hour, Dr. Gregory Carr, to come on to just help us unpack Dr. John Henry Clark. And I guess the question, as I was thinking about, I wanted to ask you, because you obviously know Dr. John Henry Clark well. He is so influential among not only your generation, but even younger scholars who are coming up. His name, Dr. John Henry Clark, is everywhere. Why is Dr. John Henry Clark so influential?
Well, that's something I always ask myself every day, because I live Dr. John Henry Clark every day. There's no way I could deal with the African world struggle, African people's development and their history without him being right in the forefront. And so we really need to realize how blessed we were to have this genius, this dynamo in our midst, not out in the stratosphere, but right live among us. And so we just left Harlem yesterday, my wife and I, celebrating the 80th anniversary of the Church of the Master, church on 122nd and Morningside. And again, we were thinking Dr. John Henry Clark, simply because Harlem, was his special village. But then when you think about Harlem, his special village, where he held forth and looked at the world and helped develop our positive view of the world, but his roots were deep in the South. He comes out of Alabama, Georgia, Union Springs, Alabama, birthed and moved early in life to Columbus, Georgia. And out of that deep root in the South sprang this enormous Pan-African giant. And he gave tribute from the very beginning to those people who counted most. He said he had three deities in his life. Number one was his grandmother. Number two was his mother. And number three was his fifth grade school teacher, Eveline Taylor. Now, this is Dr. Clark, who has met with the presidents, Haile Selassie, great leaders, and Nkrumah. He was an associate with Nkrumah. And of course, with Dr. Ben and others in this great African awakening, and inspiring so many of my immediate colleagues, Dr. Asa Hilliards, Dr. Malefi Asantes, the Dr. Jacob Crowder, the sisters, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, and Dr. Pat Newton, and others, including my wife. He gave his tribute not to a degree at a great university or to some great book that one was inspired by, or some great teachings by some extraordinary professor. He gave his inspiration and the quickening of his mind and the harnessing of his genius to his grandmother, his mother, and his fifth grade school teacher that recognized the genius in him and nurtured it. So you've got to have deep roots in order to be able to have a tree that can stand the storms and vicissitudes of life. And that tree can not only withstand, it can put deep roots in the ground. So no matter what the attacks and no matter what the forces are, it's still standing. And that tree bears fruit.
Right.
We're the fruit of that tree that his these deities, these women in his life, planted in him. And so he comes from humble beginnings. He remained a very humble, great man throughout his life. And he, more than anybody else, had contact, physical, personal contact with our greatest. And he, as a servant of our people in the Enlightenment, he served them. You're talking about serving Malcolm X. You're talking about in the 60s, when Malcolm came back from his world trip that took him to Mecca and to Cairo and throughout Africa. He realized that the Africans had set up in 63 the Organization of African Unity. I have in my hands a magazine on that development in 1963. On the cover is Haile Selassie holding the hands of Gamal Nasser, and over Gamal Nasser's shoulder is Ahmed Ben Bella, at the head of the Algerian Revolution. And then next to them are the Sekou Touré and Modibo Keita, Harriet Tubman of Liberia. 40 African leaders met and said, let's form a union so we can empower ourselves. And that same spirit that they had to form the OAU, Malcolm was passing through that part of the world in 64, and he decided that African Americans, African Caribbean, African Brazilian peoples needed to have an international platform to talk about their great rise and their the need for a global program. So Malcolm, inspired by the OAU of Haile Selassie and Gamal Nasser and Nkrumah and the others, he said that African peoples in the Western Hemisphere needed an OAAU.
Right.
And that was formed in 1964. So and there was nobody who translated Malcolm's thinking and lived the experience of putting his plans in place than Dr. John Henry Clark.
Right. Well, Dr. J, we just have a few more minutes left. And I also wanted, you spoke earlier about these deep roots. And I'm wondering whether also people are so beholden to and love and are influenced by Dr. John Henry Clark, because he was among those who opened our eyes to the African presence, in the ancient world, that he really illuminated and let us know from whence we've come. Would you talk about that?
Well, certainly. That's why he lived into his 80s, and once at 33 or so, he came north and found his root in Harlem. So from the 40s to the 50s to the 60s to the 70s to the 80s, each decade he made a great contribution, and each decade we can cite it. And so that's why the tapes are important as an introduction to him giving us the victory. When I started this process in the 60s at Columbia, we had no significant history. By the time I finished Columbia and into the 70s and 80s, we were trying to put this enormous history, that African peoples are history. There's no history more significant than ours. And so he promoted, for example, the work of Dr. Shekhanta Jupp, who was an extraordinary spirit among us. And that work is now being carried out by institutions and organizations. So it's significant that Greg Carr, Dr. Carr, and his associate, Dr. Mario Beattie, are at Howard University, our premier institution, dealing with the African-American, African-Caribbean legacy and implementing it at that great institution. And so the seed of the Dr. Clark, that fruit that fell to the ground and planted that seed, is manifested in this linkage that you put together with myself, who walked through the world with him from Harlem to Ethiopia with the Haile Selassie to the Nile Valley, taking 1,000 people in the in 87, so that now these youngsters, like Dr. Carr, have picked up the legacy of Dr. Clark and are moving with it. You know, and I know, that Dr. Clark influenced a number of important figures in our history, and we have a brotherhood sisterhood. I have a picture of myself in 87 at the University of Pennsylvania with someone called Ron Walters, with someone called Ron Daniels, with someone called James Turner. So the four of us are pictured at that juncture in 87, and that was the juncture at which we took 1,000 people to the Nile Valley to name it and claim it. I took three generations, my mother, I took my wife, of course, and we took our nephews, Hakeem, the congressman, and Hassan, the professor at Ohio State. So there are generations being educated and enlightened in terms of our role in the world. And the rise, the success that we've had, this enormous 50-year turning point of history, 1945 to 1995, that's Dr. Clark's era. And in that era, nations were born, organizations were established, consciousness was raised in unbelievable dimension. We were blessed to be at the heart of this process. You have a particular role that needs to be documented and cemented for the future. I know I have. My wife has. Dr. Clark has. I can envision him now taking us to Ethiopia in 1973, meeting the Emperor Haile Selassie, challenging the Organization of African Studies, which had eliminated, marginalized us. But Dr. Clark, meeting with Haile Selassie and others, planning a strategy of giving our mantle of leadership in these things to our people. And at that conference in Ethiopia, we took the mantle off of Dr. Philip Curtin, one of the great white American scholars, and we gave the mantle of African studies leadership for our community on the world stage to Dr. John Henry Clark.
Right. Well, Dr. J, we really appreciate this powerful, powerful insert. And you already sort of talked about the last question I was going to ask. And you said that this is an introduction that many, many, many in this new generation, and even those who need a refresher course ought to be purchasing these premiums, these speeches, this incredible archive of material, so that some people will be learning for the first time, others will be refreshed, others will be learning, they'll be fortified, because we still have a long way to go.
And that's absolutely correct. And this connection of myself to Dr. Clark, a young tiger cub that was with him, but also with the Barbara Sizemores and the other sisters, the Shashi McIntyre, he created a whole cadre of us. And then the next generations have followed, and Greg Carr represents that. And he's in a key position. He's inspired by Dr. Clark's every move.
Right.
And so you see generations. I hired Dr. Clark's mentor, John Jackson, at the City College in 1973. Dr. Clark said, this is the brother that introduced me to this great history in the 40s. And we shared it with Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, the president of Ghana. And so at the last stage of his life, we want you to aid us in his great book, African Civilization, John Jackson. I have in my hand.
Great book.
Introduction to African Civilization by Dr. Clark's mentor, John Jackson.
Right.
He was 90-something when he finished his work. That's Dr. Clark's teacher. So you're talking about generations. He's coming to me and saying, look, you've got to take a sabbatical leave and leave City College and all the great work you're doing and get this work by Chekhanta Diop, Civilization and Barbarism, which came out in French in 1981, he says, you have to get it translated into English.
Right.
And so I took that responsibility, and in 83, I took a sabbatical leave to translate this monumental work, Civilization Barbarism, so the tapes will lead you into an awakening of African peoples, the likes of which no other generation has had. And it will help you develop your personal selves, your families, your organizations, your institutions, help you develop a victorious consciousness.
Right.
And that's what
we need. Well, Dr. J, thank you so much. Really, we appreciate it. Best wishes of your travels as you continue to just travel all over the world. I don't know how you keep it up, and off to Las Vegas and all of that. But we'll see you down the road of peace. And we wish you and your wife blessings as you travel. And we look forward to seeing you in the not-too-distant future.
As Marcus Garvey said, look for me in the whirlwind.
In the storm.
And that's what Dr. Clark helped us do.
All right.
It is great victory. All right now.
Thank you so much. That's Dr. J, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, giving us a primer as to why the premium that we have for today, which is African People in World History, which does two things. One, it talks about the presence of Africans in the ancient world, but it also deals with this issue of white nationalism, which we're very much dealing with people, white nationalists in the White House, even Stephen Bannon and all that crew, and its interplay with black nationalism. So what we're going to do now is actually listen to the voice of the great guru himself, the great Dr. John Henry Clark, an excerpt from his teachings. Dr. John Henry Clark.
My subject, white nationalism, enemy of black nationalism, has been a subject that most of our thinkers have deliberately avoided talking about. It is a delicate, under-the-rug subject. In fact, they have not talked about white nationalism at all. And they have not dealt with the fact that principally for the last 500 years, the world has been ruled by white nationalists and white nationalism, and that in the 15th and the 16th century, what brought about the second rise of Europe and the European takeover of the world was the rebirth of white nationalism and a decision among Europeans that whosoever controls the world, it would be a European. That decision that Europeans made has not been broken. They have broken all kinds of decisions among themselves. They have fought two world wars, and they have killed over 100 million people of their own. They have killed over 100 million of their own people and three times more of other people. But the decision that whosoever controls the world, it will be one of them, has not been broken. They have changed political course, but that decision holds. And it holds for Europeans irrespective of political label. And our confusion is that once the European changed from one political label to the other, the assumption is that he is about to make another an agreement to the world. He is not, and he never will. And the difficulty, especially among blacks who are socialist politically, and I number myself among the socialists, only my difficulty with blacks who are socialists is that I have always defined my position. I have seen no difficulty in being socialist, pan-Africanist, and black nationalist all at the same time. So in my socialist package comes a firm commitment to the preservation of African people wherever they are on the face of the earth. And when I say I am a socialist, I am not necessarily talking about what Karl Marx was talking about. Because socialism that I am talking about existed before Karl Marx was born and before Europe was born. I am talking about the socialism that came out of communal societies in Africa, in parts of Asia, that dictated that man should have in each society goods and services according to his own needs. And this was not a European creation, because the European has never been humane enough to create anything that gives to each according to his needs. If you look at the climates of the world, social systems generally develop based on what is available in those climates. Nature was stingy in Europe. When that icebox thawed out, there wasn't enough fruit, there wasn't enough bread, there wasn't enough meat. To give each according to his own, they couldn't even afford to propagate anything as humane and as decent as this. So the strong took the most and enslaved the weak to serve them. This is the basis of European feudalism. Now, they call it feudalism in Europe, but in other places they don't play around with fancy words. They just go ahead and call it slavery. So when Europeans enslaved other Europeans, they call it feudalism. But once you study feudalism and study slavery, many aspects of feudalism was worse than chattel slavery. And if you understand the nature and the administration of feudalism, and if you understand the Crusades, especially the children's Crusades, when the Europeans marched a 500,000 children across Europe, have them froze to death. When they got to the warm waters of the Mediterranean, they sold the other half to the very infidel Arab they were supposed to have been fighting. If you understand that, there's something logical about the slave trade in Africa. Logical about any man that would do that to his children would do even worse to yours. So when you saw him along the coast of Africa, if you knew him, didn't know him then, don't know him now. But if you knew him, knew his history, you would know that this is a gangster, and I better kill him before he kills me. True. Because you did not know him, because you thought he was humane, because you thought he was just another human being, long way from home, instead of killing him, you invited him for dinner. Invited him for dinner. In many ways, you became the dinner. Never in your life had you encountered a people who will come in your home, eat your food, rape your wife, and enslave the hoes. You could not deal with that mentality then and cannot deal with it now. You came from a society where if somebody's going to fight you, they let you know days ahead of time so you can get ready for the fight. And when they come to fight you, back 6 feet and wait for you to get ready. They don't come and hit you in the back. Even fighting in your culture had a code of honor. And sometime, fighting started at dusk, at the end of the day, while after it get dark, if you want to change your mind and go home, no problem. So when you came out of a society as humane as that, you couldn't deal with a thug from an icebox called Europe. Can't deal with him now. And sometime, because the movie has spoiled you, you think in every human drama there's a good guy and a bad guy. And so when the Russians and the U.S. are meeting, because the U.S. has treated you so badly, you think that, well, the U.S. must be the bad guy, so the Russians must be the good guys. And you don't know that there are dramas in the world where they're nothing but good, bad guys. Ain't no good guys in the drama. And you can't deal with the fact that the two white nationalists, very clear, two white nationalists. Right. And the one thing that they are sure about is that they are going to preserve themselves by any means necessary. Yes, sir. And if all of you have to be washed down the drain of history, they are going to preserve themselves. Right. Yeah. Now, we collectively have been in this country about 500 years now, give or take. And there are boat people who came over a few years ago who are getting better positions than we are getting, and even taking over our community. This is being done because someone is facilitating them doing.
Yes, sir.
There are people in Miami, Cubans, who the U.S. government, they came here with a house. When they got there, their apartment was ready. When they arrived, and you were looking for an apartment, you've been here before the Mayflower people. So they didn't bring you here to give you justice. And now they are bringing people here to protect them from you, yes, as buffers. Yes. And because you are naive enough to use this word called third world, and they talk about our allies, you think if you don't have any friends among whites, among the newly arrived non-whites, you must have some friends. You're joking again. They will sell you for a smile of a white person, or without it. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that white nationalism will manipulate anybody to protect them against us, because they see in us a creativity and an energy far more dangerous than the atomic and the hydrogen bomb.
Yes,
and they fear another thing in us which they dare not even whisper about. That is genetical annihilation.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Dr. John Henry Clark, teaching, as our beloved Dr. Leonard Jeffries said he would do. Powerful, powerful, powerful teaching. This part of the premium dealing with the issue of black, of white nationalism and its goals, its objectives, and the way in which it really takes no prisoners when it comes to, or it makes African people prisoners wherever it goes, wherever it rears its ugly head. And that prison can be defined in many, many, many different ways. Again, our premium for today is African People in World History by Dr. John Henry Clark. You just heard his powerful voice, this diminutive, humble but powerful African leader who has influenced so many people, including Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. James Small, Dr. Gregory Carr will be coming on soon. The power of his presentation, his insights, the simplicity of them, even the simplicity of them as he unpacks complex ideas to help black people understand the nature of the dangers, the challenges, but also the opportunities. The issue is that you ought to have this in your library, your archives. I've heard many of the premiums before, but every time I hear them, I'm fortified. Just listening to Dr. John Henry Clark, and I was in his presence many, many times at the conferences of the African Heritage Studies Association, because I was always going to the African Heritage Studies Association meetings wherever it met, and he was always a keynote speaker, and just listening to him, that was always the highlight of these conferences. But hearing his voice again just this morning fuels a sense of righteous indignation, a sense of determination. And we need that as black people in this hour, particularly with the orange man. But it's beyond the orange man. He is just the most ugly current manifestation. He is the tip of the iceberg. He's the tip of the iceberg. It's just the ugly face of it has reared its head. But beneath it are all of these machinations, all of these variations of white supremacy that is eating away at black people, even as some of us succeed and but are not succeeding as much as we could succeed. And some of our success is false success because we are not looking collectively as black people at the totality and the collectivity of all of our people, many of whom are suffering because of the ravages of white supremacy. We've got to address this. And so I urge you now to go to your phones. Again, my goal is 30 people. 30, and we want 10 immediately, 10 in this next segment, to go to your phones and call 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602 to get this premium. It's only $75. $75. Some of you may want to get 2 and 3 and 4. Some of you can afford to get them and give them to other folks. We need these teaching tools. Everything I'm pushing this month, everything I push in general on Vantage Point, is about teaching tools. That which is necessary to arm us, to equip us, particularly the young people in your families. And by the way, we got to take this on comprehensively. Can't just be on the other side of the town. It can't just be at the forum. It has got to be organizing and sharing this information with your families, your friends, your neighbors, because we are still in a life and death struggle against white supremacy. And by the way, you can be walking dead, walking around while the world is, I mean, just look at gentrification. It's almost like we're powerless to stop the displacement of our people and the displacement of our culture. We've got to find ways to defend ourselves. We've got to find ways to go on the offense. And that is because we are yet to be as unified as we ought to be. For all of the work that I do in the Institute of the Black World 21st, it is not enough, because not enough people involved in it. And enough people are not involved in it because there are not enough people who have the consciousness that comes from listening to the kinds of premiums that we hear on WBAI. So I'm challenging you. I'm urging you. I'm pleading with you. Today, 30 shouldn't be enough. There should be 100 people rushing to the telephone right now to get this premium. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Thank you. We see the phones beginning to light up. 516-620-3602. We have volunteers who are in the studio who come in to take the calls, take down your information, to make sure you get what it is that you need, to record it. And we don't want them sitting there idly. They should be overwhelmed. And if you call and you don't get through the first time, keep calling back. Be relentless, because you need this information. Be committed, because we need this information. Our people need this information. Generation after generation needs the information. Again, the premium is African People and World History by Dr. John Henry Clark. Excuse me. It is a 2-CD set, but just $75. Infinitely affordable. $75 for Dr. John Henry Clark, the influential voice, the one who helped to mentor Malcolm, the one who sat and helped to mentor world leaders. This is an incredible person who helped to introduce us to understand from whence we've come as the givers of life and civilization in the ancient world. We have known rivers. We have known rivers, because our history goes back to the original history, because we are the original people. From us, meaning African people, from our progeny, our ancestors, all of humankind has blossomed and has spread out to those various places throughout the world. Africa is the cradle of civilization. You need that. I remember many, many years ago reading the first 30 pages of Before the Mayflower. I jumped up. I was so thrilled to know that we are somebody, that it's in our DNA, because we get messages over and over and over again that say we are nothing, that we ain't nobody, that we are in the N-word. It just smacks us in the face. They keep denigrating us. They keep giving us images of the predatory black man and the angry black woman. Well, yeah, we ought to be angry, given all the things that have happened to us. It's about, however, turning to each other rather than turning on each other. And this is happening all over the country. We are turning on each other. And that's not a good thing, even as we sometimes, and we are battling external forces. But we don't really understand, it seems to me, enough of what has happened to us. And once we understand that, we'll be stronger. We'll be fortified. Thank you for calling. Appreciate the call. 516-620-3602. I really want a flood of calls today. There are people who are listening who've heard the voice of Dr. Leonard Jeffries, who respect him, but also have perhaps been introduced to the words of Dr. John Henry Clark. And you're listening, but you're hesitating, and you've not been on our rolls as members before. It's time to sign up. It's time to become a part of this army of resistance and transformation. We don't have any time to waste. There is a sense of urgency about saving the race. And I don't mean that we're going to like physically be extinguished. We have been mentally, too many of our people are dead mentally. Young brothers and sisters out in the streets who are mentally dead. Black professionals walking around as polished Negroes, you know, primping and this, that, and the other. I listen to them on commentating and meditating and all kind of tating, and dead, mentally dead. They may, maybe, as Charles Barron says, they may be cosmetically black, but they are not authentically black because they're not infused with this kind of knowledge. We need authentic black people. And when we say authentic black people, that does not mean that we are opposed to white people, to Asian people, to Latino people, or any other people. Because authentic black people are about Maat. If you dig deep into John Henry Clark, you learn about Maat, that sense of righteousness and justice that pervades black people when we are in our right minds. We are not antagonistic. We are not oppressors of other people. In fact, one of the things that we find now is that we are oppressing ourselves far too much because we lack the consciousness. We've got, this is our churches, fraternities, sororities. We've got to be studying more. We've got to be listening to these tapes. We've got to be doing videos. We've got to be, you know, I know Twitter and Facebook is good, but every now and then we better, you know, instead of just doing Facebook, we need to face each other. Person to person in churches and in meet and greets at our homes and so forth. We've got to build some community, black folk. We got to build some community because we are too disconnected, even as we are making some progress. But they're chipping away at it. They're chipping away at it. And the main thing is there are far too many of our people who are left behind suffering, really suffering. And that's why John Henry Clark's discussion of white nationalism is so important. In these United States of America, in the White House, Stephen Bannon and everything that the alt-right represents is white nationalism in the White House. That ugly march that took place in Charlottesville, it just came out in the open. That's good. You can't treat it if it's underneath. We need to, this the good thing about what has happened is it's out in the open now. Question is, how will we respond? How will we respond? And we need to respond by refortifying ourselves. So go to your phones. Go to your phones right now. Go to your phones right now. 516-620-3602. Thank you. Appreciate your call. But there's still a number of people whose the phones, every phone should be lit up right now. Every phone should be lit up. 516-620-3602. The premium. It is the great. The great Dr. John Henry Clark. When I say great, I mean great in his knowledge, great in his power, great in his love, his undying love for black people, because he was not arrogant. He was not conceited. He was humble. A humble black man from Georgia, who Dr. Jeffrey said gave tribute to his mother, his grandmother, and his fifth grade teacher, three women who mentored him and charged him to give his knowledge to the people. And he came to his beloved Harlem, where he held fort, and from there his influence spread throughout the world because of the power of his intellect, the power of his knowledge, and his commitment to black people. You need this in your library. Not just sitting there, but sharing it. You know, we got holidays coming up. You know, this 4th of July, all these holidays, is like Frederick Douglass say, what do these holidays mean to black people? Nothing. Don't mean nothing. Memorial Day. Yeah, we need to have Black Memorial Day. You know, dealing with the issue of the destruction of black communities and the destruction of black civilization, but using it as family days, I'm down with that. because as much hell as we catch it, as Malcolm said, we need some respite from white supremacy. So we use it as family days. But what about on these days just taking a little bit of time to play a tape, to play a video, to share some knowledge, share some information, you know, just a little bit. Because, you know, we got people out there now, oh, they don't want to deal with this honor. Well, let's just give a little taste. Just whet the appetite. And then maybe people will get more and more into it and get more and more engaged in the process. That's how you can use these. We need that now in terms of embracing each other. So, again, we appreciate those who are calling, but we're way behind. We got. I need 30 people. We're up to about 9 only now. 9 people. Come on. We got 21 more people to go. 21 more. And I want to smash through that barrier. Why can't we do 50 today? You know, I'm just giving this money. I shouldn't even be sitting here asking for just 30. That's really an insult that we should even only be at. We should be asked because, again, there are people out there who can afford to do this. We know that there's those who can't afford it because they don't have the resources. But those of us who have it should give it. You know, that's why, you know, I'm a WBAI buddy. I'm a professor. You know, that's not the best paying position in the world. I love what I do. I really do. But it ain't like I'm making a whole lot of money. But I use my resources to support black people. You know, I wrote a check the other day for the United Negro College Fund. Why? Because we need to be supporting the United Negro College Fund. Why should our black colleges only be supported by white institutions? In fact, the Koch brothers, trying to, you know, like penetrate the black community by acting like they love black people, by supporting the United Negro College Fund, and we can jump up and I can say, well, you shouldn't do this. Well, maybe they wouldn't do it if there were more black people supporting the United Negro College Fund. These black colleges all across this country that have helped nurture most of our black leaders have come out of these colleges and universities, and they're dying. Because black people are not doing, we are not doing what we should be doing because we don't understand white nationalism, as Dr. John Henry Clark is talking to us, and what it is doing to us, and the need for us to have black nationalism, righteous, and I use my words deliberately, righteous black nationalism, because a righteous black nationalism is not oppressive. A righteous black nationalism does not oppress anybody. A righteous black nationalism helps to build black consciousness, build black institutions, build black people, and then helps to organize against oppression against any people anywhere in the world. That's righteous black nationalism, and that's what we need, and we don't have enough of it. Go to our phones right now, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Again, my goal is at least 30. We have at least 30 people, and we're just lagging. And with the people out there listening, hesitating, vacillating, go to your phone right now. Say, I hear the voice of Ron Daniels pleading and urging us to do what we ought to do. And today, I'm making a commitment to join the resistance, to save myself and my people by becoming more committed, by taking more time out of my busy day, out of our busy, it's almost like we're on the treadmill anyway. It's like, you know, talking loud and saying nothing. We just out here, just, you know, we're succeeding and emulating what the white folks do and trying to be like the white folks and so forth. And our people are suffering and our people are dying and we need to do more. And so, again, and this is loving, by the way. You know, I'm coming hard, but I'm loving. I love black people. You know, believe me, I devote my life to working for black people because I understand what has happened to us. I understand why we're apathetic. I understand why we do the things we do. But my obligation is to ask you to change our behavior so that we may do better. And in doing better, to improve our community. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Go to your phones right now. We're going to play another excerpt from John Henry Clark and the premium we have today, a 2-CD set, African People in World History. Listen again to the voice of Dr. John Henry Clark.
At Hunter College, I teach a course called The African World of the 20th Century. And before we get into the formalized part of the course, it's a kind of a course, I don't teach it, I teach it only once a week, but I teach 3 hours. In the first hour,
is devoted to the African world here and now. Now, in the previous lecture, we devoted most of our time to the African world up to 1927, the year of the deportation of Marcus Garvey. Before getting into the lecture for this evening in a formal way, I want to look at the total of the African world. While the title for the series is Redemption, I wonder if redemption is what we are talking about. What I'm trying to get at is because we have been lulled into a minority psychosis, we still do not understand that we are not a minority. We're not a small people. We're not a people trying to steal somebody else's geography. We got enough of our own, and we want to claim that, and we want to deliver to that the managers, the scientists, the road builders. And once we get every inch of that and claim the outer parts of Africa, the African extensions, like the West Indies and certain countries in South America and the African areas of Asia, once this is done, we not only become a world people, we become a superpower. You are not accustomed to being told that you are a superpower and that all of the potential is waiting to be developed. And because of this, many times you are going behind dying people asking for favors, and you're following people who don't know where they're going. Well, they're going to the graveyard. And if you want to follow them there, you got a problem. It is a different time of day in the world for us. And yet, all over the world, we have been so propagandized, we do not know that we are going to people to get advice who cannot even advise themselves. Now, you have used these crutches, hand-me-downs from your white colonial master, so long you don't know if the crutches are taken away from you, you can still walk. And what the whole thing is about, and what I intend to try to point out in looking at the totality of the African world, is to look at that potential power within that world and ask, what did happen to our mind and our confidence in between the time of the civil rights movement and now? Where are these young men and young women? Why are so many of them copped out into the establishment and the split level houses? Why are so many of these young men and women in dungarees working for $10 a week, facing police dogs? Why are so many of them conservatives right now? Somebody failed them, and they failed somebody. In the first place, they wouldn't listen. They thought everybody over 30 must have been old hat. And we didn't force them to listen. When they had that glorious uprising that they call a revolution, which wasn't a revolution, it was a happening, and it was a great happening, but it wasn't a revolution. A revolution, you do not revolt to join somebody When you revolt, you bring into being a total new society. All we were, our happening was about sharing a society that was already dying. And once we awakened to the fact that the society wasn't worth integrating into and turned back on ourselves, we haven't asked and answered the question, if that society is not worth integrating into, am I worthy of integrating into myself? That if you are worthy of integrating into yourself, then under what system, under what rubric will I do this? I am saying this because a number of young men seek me out because they want to go to Africa and make a fortune. And they're very disappointed when I say that I will not give you any assistance at all. If you want to go to Africa to exploit Africans, then all Africans are doing is changing a black exploiter for a white one. Changing a white one for a black one. And this is not what Africa is all about. You've got enough people in Africa exploiting Africa, especially Nigeria. That's almost a finishing school for con men.
Again, the voice of Dr. John Henry Clark, as he is really, you know, echoing some of the very things that I'm trying to suggest to you today in terms of the really critical need to have this premium, the voice of this highly influential, powerful man who speaks to us now, even though he has passed away, which is really the test of legacy, the test of time in terms of the cogency and power of his ideas. And so we continue to urge you to do two things. Number one, if you can't afford $75, that's the premium for today. Can you become a WBAI buddy by $10 a month, just $10 a month, $120 a year? You can sign up. It comes out of your bank account, most often out of your credit card, just $10 a month. $10 a month. Or you can give $25, you give $30, whatever. I'm already, as I said before, I am a WBAI buddy. And so we want you to sign up. But I also have set a goal of having 30 people today, just 30. I'm embarrassed to say I'm asking for so few, but just 30 to purchase this premium 2-CD set, African People in World History, which has two components to it. One of them talking about the African people within the ancient world, but also the whole question of white nationalism and its interplay with black nationalism. And that is so current, so contemporary in terms of what we're facing today. A 2-CD set, just $75, and we're saying you need this in your archives. We need to retrain ourselves, re-inspire ourselves. Next week, we're going to be dealing with Malcolm. I mean, damn, I can listen to Malcolm over and over and over again. I need a dose of Malcolm every day. So no such thing as I already got that. I already know that. No. You need to be refreshed, to be renewed. And so if you already have it, good. Some of you should call and get 3, 4, 5 of these. You know, we blow a lot of money on a lot of foolishness. We tend to pay for what we want and beg for what we need. We have people in this audience at $75 a pop who could do $300, just give them away to family and friends. Bring some young brothers and sisters into your house and say, check this out. Listen to Dr. John Henry Clark. You know, and you don't just bring some food now. You know, they ain't going to walk in the house now. You know how to handle it. Have a backyard barbecue or have some food. You know, we will rally around food. And play these premiums and help to begin to break through to some of our young brothers and sisters, but also to our families and friends. Because what we tend to do, even if we're activists, you know, we activists all by ourselves, two or three of us, but the rest of the family, we organizing everybody else but our families. No, our families need to be organized. One of the things I feel proudest about was both my mother and my father. But my father, he was always engaged in NAACP and all that kind of stuff. But when Black Power emerged and all that, a lot of people were all shook up and so forth. He tried to understand it. And I don't know how old he was. He was in his 70s. He made his trip to Africa. He went to Nigeria to reconnect because he wanted to understand. He wanted to. He knew that you could never stop learning. And that's the way it ought to be with us. And he put his dashiki on and everything and went over there and spent some time in Africa. He reconnected. And that's the kind of thing that we need today. So let's go to your phones, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Two CD set, African People and World History by Dr. John Henry Clark. A two CD set for just $75. I'm still stuck on 9 people. We need 30. That's 21 more people I've got to get in the next 50 minutes in order to achieve our goal. I guess 1 WBAI buddy. We're 4 short. So we want to achieve these goals. And by the way, this really is not about me. And it's about really keeping WBAI alive. But this is keeping WBAI alive so that it's a part of the resistance. It is one of the few places that you can go and get other than a snippet. You listen to some of the mainstream news, boom, index, boom, 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 boom. You can't, I mean, it happens so fast, you can't possibly understand. This is non-commercial. There's no corporation supporting this. This is listener-sponsored. This is you and I putting up our dollars. That's why every year I contribute significant dollars to WBAI. Every pledge drive, I'm on record, you know, putting my dollars in. Not because I'm rich, not because I'm famous, not because I have a lot of resources, but because I organize the resources I have in order to support the causes that are crucial in terms of building for Black people and for, you know, oppressed humanity. So go to the phones, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. We heard Dr. Leonard Jeffries, I call him our paramount chief. I'm giving him a new name. He's our paramount chief. And so you heard him reference. He referenced Dr. Greg Carr is one of the great young leaders that have come on in the legacy, one of the seeds that have blossomed under the leadership of Dr. John Henry Clark. So he referenced him several times in our discussion last week. So now we're so glad and honored to have with us Dr. Greg Carr, Associate Professor of History and African American Studies at Howard University and the director of the Afro-American Studies Department at Howard University, and much more than that. Dr. Carr, welcome to Vantage Point.
Bye, Dr. Daniels, I am so glad to hear your voice, brother. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm just trying to do the best we can to get our people to be on board with the critical need of education for liberation, which Dr. John Henry Clark was about, because we are, you know, in very, very difficult straits in terms, at least from my perspective. And that's why we wanted you to come on and to chat with us and in terms of the work that you do. And you know, because we know that you're someone who believes in and teaches in the spirit of Dr. John Henry Clark. First and foremost, let's just get a little bit of background, because I, you know, I've been knowing you and watching you and so forth, but I never asked you. You're in Washington, D.C., but where do you hail from?
Oh, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, brother.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, sir. In fact, my mother is from Russell County, Alabama, and was born and raised a stone's throw from Union Springs, where John Henry Clark was born. Mm. And, of course, Dr. Clark, you know, came out those fields, and his family moved him over to across the Georgia state line to Columbus, Georgia, when he was a little boy, when that's where he met Miss Evelina Taylor, the sister who Bobby Lynn was talking about earlier. Many of my cousins live in Columbus, Georgia, between Phoenix City, Alabama, and Columbus, Georgia. And I've been to John Clark's grave site many times, and the last of which was we celebrated the centennial of his birth at the grave site there. So, yeah, my people are Alabama Negroes, man, by way of Nashville, Tennessee.
Right. And I got deep Georgia connections because on my father's side, you know, we're from down and around Warm Springs in that area. And so we
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Damn, we've got a whole discussion about that side. But clearly, your work has been influenced by Dr. John Henry Clark. Talk to us about his impact on you and your development.
I appreciate that, Dr. D. I would say this. You know, we were talking about this weekend. And by the way, congratulations and thank you for your continued work with the Institute of the Black World for 21st Century, and for bringing us together in Baltimore last week to have these powerful conversations and continue to work. And one of the things that we had in a very powerful session, an intergenerational dialogue, was a conversation about how, you know, these traditions are bloodline traditions. They are living traditions. And, you know, there's a wave of interest now, academic interest in people writing about black nationalism in the 1960s and 70s. And much of that scholarship is written by people who are well-meaning, but who have no direct connections.
Right.
And I'm blessed to say that, you know, I came into this work, this intellectual work, this academic work, this classroom work, this social transformation work, as a result of direct, what Baba Asa Hilliard knows we call gentleship or mentorship from men like you, the man who they always swap y'all out with each other. Y'all might as well have been blood brothers, the great, of course, Ron Walters.
Right.
And John Clark. I spent about 10 years, the last 10 years of his life, I was able to spend a lot of time with him. And, you know, John Clark, for me, his humility was without peer. I mean, he was such a humble brother, and his clarity and his ability to convey ideas, to use metaphors, to put current moments, mix them in with historical context, and to make history come alive. I think that was his great genius. And watching him, listening to him, asking him questions, and then just observing his technique, I think there's probably nobody, and, you know, there are others. I heard Dr. J mention, of course, his very good brothers and sisters like Miranda Ani and Shafi McIntyre and the great Jacob Carruthers. You know, Jacob Carruthers and Theophilo Benga, the protege of Sheikh Dr. Joke, had big influence on me, but I don't know if anybody had any more influence in terms of technique and approach than the great John Henry Clark. But that's kind of what he meant to me.
Right.
But I'm going to say something right quick, though, because I want to fit in the context of New York. I went to law school at Ohio State, and I know you got deep roots in Ohio as well over in Youngstown.
That's right.
I was in Columbus for about 5 years. I went to law school here, and I got a master's there. And that's where actually I met John Clark in the late 80s. But I spent a summer at the NAACP Legal Defense Fund in New York there, 99 Hudson Street, as a clerk. And that summer changed my life, and there were a number of reasons. I'll just mention two that are directly germane to folks becoming WBAI buddies and making these pledges this morning. One was reading every week Andrew Cooper's newspaper, The City Sun, Booker's mm-hmm. City Sun, which is one of the
right.
great publications. And John Clark, in fact, Dr. Clark signed the copy of the cover, the first of a series he wrote for The City Sun called Can African People Save Themselves? That was in I mean, I used to live to get the City Sun. But the second one, which is really the first thing I want to mention for this, was WBAI. I mean, when it changed my life. This was before everything was online. So now I listened this morning, and I listened regularly on WBAI.org, but it was Samori Marksman and Utrice Lead and Earl Caldwell and Imhotep Gary Bird. And, you know, I mean, man, I couldn't turn BAI off. This was the only, this was before Al Lewis made transition. On Saturday mornings, man, I would listen. This is where my mind was open to the possibilities of transformative progressive media. So y'all got to keep BAI on the air, and you got to keep Dr. Daniels busy, because I can't make it the 17th, but I'm going to be looking like Dr. J on whatever is recorded, because I want to hear about a more perfect union from this final campus community lecture. But WBAI is so important. I just wanted to mention that, brother, while you're this morning getting people to support the station.
Well, we appreciate that, and that's one of the things that we keep pushing. And I guess the other side of it is too is I've been pushing hard the idea of this awakening of the urgent need for consciousness. And you know, I point out to people that, you know, some of us have been doing this work for a long time, and you know, but just this morning, early this morning, prepping for my class, today, just rereading some of the stuff. And I even though I know the material, it's just like I've heard Dr. Clark again. It just, again, feels a sense of righteous indignation. Not hatred, not destructive stuff. It's just the sense that we've got to do more, that we've got to organize better, that we've got to go out here and love our people more and build more. And so I wish you would comment on that, too, because you do that a lot in terms of you have a huge following of your young people who love you, who respect you, because they see in you that kind of same authenticity. They see in you an inspiring figure. And that's what we've been trying to say to people today in terms of getting the premium, is that they need that. And there are ways in which we need to be trying to organize our community, because even though there's the illusion of progress, because some of us, can do well in corporate America and all this kind of stuff and so forth. But up underneath us, I mean, our communities are coming apart. Really, it is far worse, really, with gentrification and the shrinking of the public space and all these different things. I mean, we got, as Malcolm said, some black people are catching more hell than ever before. Talk to us.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I think, and one thing, Dr. Clark's great strength was helping people understand that, in fact, he used to say this all the time, all history is a current event. Mm. And his ability to have people understand that what he was talking about in historical context was simply something that had happened in the past, but it involved the same human issues when it comes to our people. I mean, that was another one of his great strengths and geniuses. And it's an unbroken genealogy. I mean, you talk about me, and I'm grateful, Asante San, about for you saying that. And I would say that my attempt to continue in this work is directly modeled on and influenced by yours, because we have an organic relationship. The Kikongo people, they have a term, Lufuki. Robert Ferris Thompson and Baba Fukiyao and others say that may be the root of the word funky. It means that when you're in a living community and you're engaged in work with living people, the thing leaves its print on you. It's almost like funk. It just gets up in you, and you have to move in that vein. I move through the world based on ways that you move through the world, because I watched you, I learned from you, I interacted with you, and the same with Dr. Clark and so many others. And I say that in this context. A lot of our young people and a lot of people who are new to struggle might not see the connections, and it becomes our obligation, particularly as teachers. And I hear you, man. The beauty of reading is in the rereading, and a teacher never stops rereading. You just like John Henry Clark. He'd read a thing 1,000 times and read it 1,001 when he was going in to teach, whether it be when he was in the 60s with Harry U. Act, when among his students was a young Lew Alcindor who became a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, whether it be when he was at Hunter College for all those years, when he was able to influence everybody from Marimba Ani to Tony Martin and all the people that Baba Lynn was talking about, including he and his wife. When we're in a classroom, when we're in any teaching and learning relationship, what we have to help young people understand is that, and anyone really, is that struggle work, community building work, visionary development of community work, is part of an unending connected community. Mm. I remember when you all pulled everybody together for the reparations convening a couple of years ago, right at the same time that Dr. Ben's rituals or transition were taking place. Here we are in Abyssinian Baptist Church, and here we are at the rituals for a man, Yosef Benyakin, and very close to Dr. Clark, really brothers. Here's a man who influenced a brother, Paul Coates, to name one of his sons, second to the youngest, Ta-Nehisi. And so you got a guy who's right there in New York City writing for The Atlantic, who just did an article on Kanye West that just came out today, who has a living connection to this nationalist Pan-Africanist struggle tradition that young people and others have to understand they are a part of. They're not disconnected. And that's what keeps us sane. That's what keeps us moving, because we will win. But part of winning is understanding the connections, and part of the work of the classroom teacher, finally, as John Clark used to always say, all he ever wanted to be was a great classroom teacher, which made me want to say the same thing. Part of the work of the classroom teacher is helping people make those connections that will really sustain them on our path to victory.
Right, right. Beautifully said. Well, there's much, much more, and I have to, you know, bring you back and have you more as a guest, because one of the things that people are increasingly appreciating in my vantage point is we're having different kinds of conversations and expanding them and bringing all kinds of people in and connecting folks. And so we're trying to make this a powerful medium, because, you know, you can listen on the internet. So people are like literally listening, and we're pushing it out on Facebook and all those different mediums, because there is a sense of urgency that in this moment we do need to be together. We need to continue to expand our consciousness, and that connectivity that you talked about is so incredibly important. And we really, really appreciate so much the work that you do, the commitment that you have. Because that example inevitably will rub off, as you said before, on others, and they will follow in your footsteps. And that's Vincent Harding's "There Is a River," right?
And there'll be no obstacles
and no barriers that can turn us around. So, Dr. Gregory Carr, thank you so much for spending your time with us this morning on Vantage Point and sharing why people should, in fact, support WBAI. We really appreciate it.
Of course, love you, brother. Be listening to the lecture for next week or for the 17th. And keep it up, Dr. Rogers. You know, you're shining our light. We're going to follow along in that struggle, brother, to victory.
All right. Thank you much. Okay, that's Dr. Gregory Carr. We want to have him on more. This brother is tremendous. I mean, he has not only a huge following at Howard University, which is an important place to be, because our universities are, you know, they're sort of kind of contradictions, too, if you understand what I'm saying. Great citadel of knowledge, but a tug of war trying to preserve it. Because in many ways, our black, historically black colleges and universities are facing challenges. And those challenges are, at least some of the leaders feel, are pulling them to displace the sort of cultural, historical essence of those colleges in a way that will perhaps make them unrecognizable as that being at the very cutting edge of producing sort of servant-centered leadership that has come out of many of these colleges and universities. And anyway, you know, our goal is we're up to, I think, 13 now. So we still have 17 more people to go. 17 more people to go in order to achieve an objective of 30 people today that for just $75, will purchase the premium. Which is entitled African People in World History by Dr. John Henry Clark. And he is addressing this two CD set. What a remarkable man. And again, the humility. Again, great person, but humble, but powerful. And that was a part of his power, is his humility, this brilliance. You know, some people who are brilliant are arrogant, you know, conceituous. That's not Dr. John Henry Clark. He was trying to bring the gift of his knowledge that had been bestowed on him, that he had been mentored by people like John D. Jackson and others, to bring that to the people, to popularize it, and to put it in ways, as Dr. Carr said, that people could understand it. Because sometimes we get scholars, they get to talking, and they we call it being pedantic. They get to, it's so complex when they got finished saying it, you get a headache. We don't want to give people a headache. We want people to understand what it is we're talking about. And Dr. John Henry Clark was very great in terms of that. Malcolm X, too, that's one of his geniuses, taking complex ideas and put them in terms that we could grasp and understand, which is also, I think, the test, really, of really African-centered scholarship. So two CD sets, $75. Again, Dr. Carr shared, you know, listening to the City Sun and, you know, and I mean reading the City Sun, which was really a highly influential newspaper, and also WBAI. It changed his life, he said. You're listening to life-changing radio right now. And the premiums he offers are potentially life-saving as well. So go to your phones at 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, and you sign up now for at least one at $75, maybe two at $150, maybe three at $225, maybe four at $300. I mean, some people out there could do that. You could do multiple purchases at $75. That's Dr. John Henry Clark, a teaching tool. something that you ought to have in your archives. And that's so beautiful. That's what's so beautiful about WBAI. That's such a rich, rich treasure trove of so much vital, powerful information. And knowledge is powerful. Ignorance is not bliss. It is catastrophic. Walking around ignorant, and I don't mean this negatively in a pejorative or in a demeaning sense, walking around with an absence of knowledge is dangerous. Because those who have knowledge and possess knowledge, and when with you not having knowledge, have a they have a head up, a hand up. They have power. They can manipulate. They can manipulate us. And so often we are day late. We're day late. We don't have the information. So by the time we catch up, it's a done deal. It's like what's happening with gentrification, though. We're going to counterattack on this issue. I hear people conceding it. Oh, well, we're going to designate our community, but we know gentrification is here. No, 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 no. That's a defeatist attitude. We must, as Dr. Melania Malefi-Asante had, we must have a victorious attitude. We can fight back. But it means that we need more people, more. We need to expand the number of conscious warriors, women and men, young, old, because old ain't got nothing to do with it. Age has got nothing to do with it. We're talking about John Jackson completing his stuff at age 90. Dr. Janet Leonard Jeffries is still on the battlefield. He's in his 80s. Ain't got nothing to do with age. You know, I mean, except we slow down a little bit here and there. But that means this next generation. Fignon said each generation out of relative obscurity must discover its mission, fulfill it, or betray it. And the young people listening today. And some of you could get this premium as well. This whole notion, sometimes we have stuff we have to say, well, you know, we got to take account the young people they can afford. Well, young people can afford what they want to afford. They are prioritized that which they feel is important. Not that I'm not willing to also share and also willing to get things on their behalf, but we need to also challenge them to change their priorities such that they get what they need in addition to that which they may want and aspire to, which may have nothing to do with the essence and substance of maintenance of we as black people. And when we maintain ourselves, there's a possibility of maintaining that is the potential for the possibility of maintaining this the race, the nation, and the world. Because that's the sense of who we are as a people. It's not insular. It is about that which we can contribute to ourselves and to the world. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. We want the phones to explode. There should be nobody sitting around now as they are now with an idle phone. I mean, every line should be full. And if you call and the line is busy, call back again. Be persistent. Act as if our lives depend on it, because our lives do depend on it. Getting this information, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, Dr. John Henry Clark. Dr. John Henry Clark. This is the personage that we're talking about, the personage personified by a body of knowledge and information so awesome that it will transform your life and the life of those around you, if you would but listen to what he has to say. And by the way, it doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything that anybody that we put on. I mean, you know, this is about critical thinking. You may say, I agree with Dr. Clark here, but maybe I would have done this a little different. But that's so. I don't mean I agree maybe with every letter of what Dr. Clark had to say. Dr. Jeffries may not either, nor Dr. Clark. It's the essence. It is the fundamental architecture of his ideas that we find profound and life-saving. That's the point. I mean, all of us have to, in our own way, then translate that which we see and learn from Malcolm Martin, Fannie Lou Hamer, from her Sojourner Truth, and we have to then translate that in our own way, in ways that will enable us to empower, to heal and empower our people. Go to the phones right now. We're starting to make a little progress. We're getting there. 516-620-3602. There are hundreds of people out there, thousands actually, who are listening right now, who have never pledged, who've never ever made a contribution. We're up to just, well, we wanted 5 WBAI bodies. We only got 2. We got 3 more. the WBII Buddy. And by the way, we thank everybody for whatever contribution you can make. And if you can't make a contribution, we appreciate you listening. We really do. We love you because you listen. And if you can't contribute, knock on somebody's door and tell them to contribute. But there are people out there. There are a sufficient number of people out there who can contribute and who can sustain. And by the way, that doesn't mean the WBAI Pacifica is perfect either. What is? I'm not aware of any institution or any operation that's perfect. It's evolving. It has its tensions. It has its moments. It has its ups and downs. That's irrelevant. It is a strategic institution struggling, striving, moving forward, doing its best, and then sometimes even in spite of itself, uttering and issuing powerful information that all of us receive, ingest, and find nurturing. And we ought not to be parasites. We ought to give back. We ought to give back. We ought to give back. We shouldn't take and not give back. Give back because you've learned. Give back because you've been inspired. Give back because somebody heard and acted. Give back because we are part of the resistance. Give back by calling 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Call right now. Go to your phones and call right now. Right now. Right now. We're getting there gradually. 516-620-3602. African People in World History by Dr. John Henry Clark. African People in World History by Dr. John Henry Clark. 2-CD set, just $75. Just $75. $75 set. That information that is so vitally important to our listening audience, to all of us, is so vitally important. And again, you can become a WBII buddy $10 a month, $120 a year, $10 a month, $120 a year. I'm a WBAI buddy. And again, it just happens, which is good. I don't have to think about it, which is good. Oh, I forgot. No, I don't forget because I have signed up. And there are all kind of perks. I don't take advantage of it because I'm so busy moving. I ain't got time to take care of all them perks. But there are perks, you know, tote bags and all kinds of benefits you get from retailers because you're a part of it. To me, I ain't even interested. I didn't even do it for that. But that's fine. You ought to take advantage of it. It's there. The station has arranged for you to have that as a gift to you. But the real gift is WBAI. Let me say that again. The real gift is WBAI and what it represents. And in the sort of the broad array of things that we need to survive, thrive, and be on the offensive in this period, WBAI and the Pacifica Network, that includes WPFW, our sister station down there in Washington, D.C., where Dr. Greg Carr is, and all out down into Radio Free Georgia in Atlanta, and all down into Houston, Texas, where there's a station, and in Los Angeles and in Berkeley, all of those stations, and those that are affiliated. You just heard Law and Disorder. It's all over. Law and Disorder is all over the place. The Labor Show with that we have is all over the place. So this is a powerful medium that we're asking you to support. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Get you this 2-CD set of $75. We're going to take another excerpt from Dr. John Henry Clark at this point. Even as you listen, be ringing those phones, 516-620-3602. And for those of you who are just joining in, this has been highly recommended by Dr. Leonard Jeffries, highly recommended by a voice that maybe you've not heard before, Dr. Gregory Carr. You'll be hearing more of him. He's a giant, really, really out here helping to mentor and encourage and inspire a whole nother generation, even as he has been inspired, which is the way it ought to roll and it ought to move. So go to those phones, 516-620-3602, as we now turn again to our final excerpt of Dr. John Henry Clark.
In the first place, we should be clear about what is a nation and what is a culture within a nation. A nation is more than one culture, generally. It is a combination of culture, but it cannot be a nation unless they can function with some degree. As for what is a race, scientifically, there is no such thing. Race is an invention. Nature created no race. What you call race is nothing but an ethnic or cultural entity. And that people created races to put one group over the other, to create a rationale for taking from one things that they wanted and to justify it. And they also use race and religion sometime together, and because of nationalism and all of the three major world religions have been used by nationalists, white nationalists. Islam has been used mostly by Arab nationalists, and nearly always used against blacks. For Islam has been used for blacks for a while, but mostly against them. It is a pity, maybe, if a person like Jesse Jackson knew Christianity, he probably wouldn't be a Christian. If he knew Judaism and the relationship of Jews to blacks, he wouldn't have apologized at all, least of all for Hyman. If Farrakhan really knew Islam, he would either be a better Muslim or none at all. He's sharper on the Bible than Jesse.
Right, yes.
He uses it much better, and he still don't know it as well as he could. But if he knew that along with true history,
all right.
He would be devastating.
Yes, sir.
Because he cannot quote the Bible all the way as truth, because there's a point where the Bible departs from history and becomes fable. If you know pure history, then you know the point of departure. Some parts of the Bible can be proven true, and some parts of the Bible can't be sustained at all because it's nothing but a Jewish fairy tale. The Bible in general is a Jewish survival book, and a very good one. And the Jewish people in general are a people who invented themselves and did a very good job of it. But you have to understand, this is an invented people. When you invent yourself, you invent a whole lot of nice things about yourself. You got privileges. You give yourself victories in wars that didn't even occur. What's that to prevent you from doing so? You let the sea open up and let you go across. And why not? You got nothing but your imagination. There's nobody to prevent you from it. And yet there's no man alive, this might break your heart now, there's no man alive can give me one iota of positive proof that the Exodus actually occurred. I told my students that if you prove to me that the Exodus occurred, I'll give you 1 month's salary. Nobody proved it. But you see, they were studying the Bible. They went to the Bible again and again and again and again. See, I knew where they were going to go. And they were never going to find the proof. But then when it was all over, I said, this is the way I trapped you. I studied the period on this side of the river. I studied the pure history on this side of the river. And the pure history has no record of anybody departing in that number at that time. The pure history. Then I go on the other side of the river and I see if there's any record of anybody arriving at this time or the time. No record. Then I search the military history of Egypt. Is there any record of any Pharaoh's army being drowned? No record. Then I search the other records, and I find out that that was one of the finest record-keeping periods in Egyptian history, because this was the Ramesses period, and Ramesses had a pimple on his behind and made a record of it. And if he made a record of one pimple on his behind, 600,000 people can't leave the country without him also making a record of that. If he stomped his toe on his way through the garden to see his wife Nefertari, and there's a record of it. He was delayed in meeting his wife because he stomped his toe and he fell against a tree, and his guards picked him up and braced him, you know, then set him down, and he rested a while, you know, and they brought him cool water to drink, and he was on his way to see his beloved Nefertari. If he made a record of that, which might have taken him 15 to 10 minutes, don't you think if 600,000 people left his country, he would also have a record of that? Yeah. Or somebody? Yeah. And besides, there was a 16-mile land bridge connecting Egypt with Western Asia, and they walked into Africa, and they could have walked out. Nobody needed to go by sea anyway. Now, I'll admit that the story of the Exodus is a beautiful story. It's wonderful. See, Sabina Mill made so much money, this grandchildren won't even finish spending it. Charlton Heston did nicely, but he probably got some money playing Moses wrongly. And the true story of Moses won't be told until black people start making movies.
Africans became Roman citizens, just like many black Americans today. Who says, I have nothing to do with Africa. I'm an American. I'm a citizen. I'm an American. There were Africans way back there with that same kind of split personality silliness, not knowing where their ethnic identity belonged.
Rome's hold over its far-flung provinces weakens. In North Africa, it faces a new and fierce challenge, Islam.
The Arabs, noticing the weakness of the Romans in North Africa, began to court the favor of the Africans.
Arabs convinced the local black populations to join in the struggle against a common oppressor. They also convinced many of them to abandon their traditional beliefs and pledge their allegiance to Allah.
The Africans assumed that by supporting the Arabs would get the Romans literally off their back. They were right. The Arabs did get the Romans off their back. But the Arabs replace the Romans.
Public about it. But the Essenes were vegetarians. And they wanted him to give up eating red meat. And so he told them the equivalent, that if I have to give up red meat, to hell with you and your religion.
So they finally told him, all right, you can have your red meat. So long you be more discreet about the ladies and set a better public example.
Okay, all right. Again, the Dr. John Henry Clark. And that's another thing, his partner, Dr. Joseph Benyakaman, you know, they would come in and they'd shake you up and challenge some of the stuff that you may have thought and heard about, but dealing with it from this point of history and factual history, separating out myth from reality, separating out that which is a metaphor for that which is reality, and in many, many ways, while in some ways not necessarily, as you heard there, denying the beauty of the story, but saying from a historical point of view that it's just that, a story that makes a point about the liberation of a people, but may not necessarily be rooted in historical fact in terms of that which is can in fact be found, demonstrably can be found, and whatever. So again, a part of the process of learning sometimes is to get jolted, to have your existing belief system rattled, to open up your mind, to begin to look at new ways of learning and seeing things. And again, not non-controversial and not in non-contestable, because there are people who would contest some of the positions and ideas put forth by Dr. John Henry Clark. But in the main, the question is the essence of the mission, which is to demonstrate the African presence in the ancient world. Not only to demonstrate it, to say that it is from this African presence, it is from this African genesis that springs life and civilization. That cannot be refuted by archaeology or anthropology or any of the scientific evidence that we have. All of it points to Africa as the genesis, and African people really as the people. In that sense, everybody listening to this program, be they European, Asian, whatever, are Africans in the sense that it all flowed from Africa, and then the transformation of people into different types of humankind, but the genesis is Africa. And it's good to know that, not because you want to be arrogant about it, or not because you want to be, you know, again, arrogant about it, or that it makes you superior, but it does refute the kind of information that Arnold Toynbee, one of the quote-unquote greatest African historians of all time, once said, of all of the races of humankind, only the African has contributed nothing to human civilization. That's Arnold Toynbee. He said that. Well, Dr. John Henry Clark and other African-centered scholars debunked all that and put Toynbee in his right place, equalizing things, because those who thought they were superior have had to step down a notch or two, and those who felt they were inferior have stepped up a notch or two. So now we can look at each other as equal human beings. The premium for today, and we're still lagging. I still need, oh my God, I still need 11 more people to get to my goal here, and I only got 5 more minutes. The premium is African People and World History by Dr. John Henry Clark. African People and World History by Dr. John Henry Clark. He is an amazing human being, quoted in all kinds of circles. His tentacles spreading out, the seeds or the fruit of the seeds that he's planted, blossoming in people like Dr. Leonard Jeffries and Dr. Gregory Carr, whom you heard earlier, and many, 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 many others that are out there that we have not even mentioned a name. 2-CD set, African People in World History, which deals with the African presence of African presence in the ancient world, as well as the question of white nationalism. And white nationalism is ever present. It is now more present. It has reared its ugly head in a way that we have not seen, because we had driven it underground, which may be not a good thing. It's better to see it above ground, because now we know what we're facing. The orange man in the White House, Steve Bannon, and the alt-right, And then all of those little subtle pieces, you know, those people with the blue suits and the white and the black robes, from the Supreme Court to the Congress to the corporate world, who walk around legitimate, but who really are accomplices to this whole racist white supremacist scheme that is decimating black people, even as we survive and fight back. And we need the consciousness. We need these materials as a basis for helping us to expand our consciousness, to fortify ourselves. And that's what I've been pleading for the last 2 hours. So go to your phones, 516-620-3602. And let's get those last 11 people. At last 11 people. My goal was 30. The last 11 people at $75. 2-CD set by the great Dr. John Henry Clark. Recommended by Dr. Leonard Jeffries. Recommended by Dr. Gregory Carr, whom you heard right on this show. But Dr. Carr also talking about the fact that WBAI helped to transform his life. And that's what it's about. Life-saving. WBAI Radio is a part of the resistance. That's the real gift beyond this premium. But it is great to have these premiums here because they are a treasure trove that we can tap into to strengthen black people as we seek to save ourselves and oppressed humanity. So for just for $75, just $75, go to the phones right now. We have people idly sitting by. Some are on the phones, but there's still some people. Every phone should be lit up, folks. Make that decision. Just go ahead. Go ahead. Go right now. Make the decision. 516-620-3602. I'm going to make that commitment today. I'm going to become a part of this army. I'm going to become a part of this resistance. I am going to make a commitment to give more time and energy to acquiring and utilizing empowering knowledge. That's my resolution that I'm making here today on Vantage Point. That's what you should be saying to yourself, because we're going to save ourselves. I may not get there with you, but my people, King said, will reach the promised land. Well, that's what we need to be talking about. Cross generations. This has been a long struggle. It has been a long struggle. And we've been winning. We lose some. We win some. A step back. Two steps forward. A step back. Three steps forward. Two steps backward. There is a river that runs through the history of African people that we will not be turned back. We ain't let nobody turn us around. But we won't be turned back because people do what you should be doing right now. Going to that phone, 516-620-3602, and making a pledge of $75 on your credit card through your savings account, by check. You make the arrangement by however you want to do it in order to get this premium, African People and World History by Dr. John Henry Clark, 2-CD set, $75 only. Just a few minutes left to do it. And as I close, again, a reminder, an encouragement, my final lecture as distinguished lecturer at York College, City University of New York, May 17th, Thursday in the evening, 6 o'clock reception, 7 o'clock program, at the Performing Arts Center. I want you to be there. The lecture that will be entitled Toward a More Perfect Union, Finishing the Unfinished Black Freedom Struggle. I want you to be there for this celebratory event. Not retiring from the struggle, just focusing on strengthening WBAI and building the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. Go to your phones right now. Help me get over the hump. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Thank you so much, all of you who contributed to this program. We'll see you again next week on Vantage Point.
Turn on you.
in order to turn into a murder cult and turn on you. This is why I don't worship either in the end. And hear me clearly, I'm a very religious person. When I refer to myself as a spiritual person. There are other sources of being spiritual other than going to them. Now, because the Arabs use Islam as their personal property and use it for nationalism, the whites use Christianity as a form of their nationalism, the Jews use Judaism is a form of nationalism to take what don't belong to them. Everybody in the world use religion to take what don't belong to them. Now what are you going to use to take back what belongs to you? And everybody worships a God. Everybody worships a God that physically resembles them but you. Because everybody uses religion based on their national needs and their culture understanding of themselves. We need an internal culture revolution. And it's going to have to start inside of our minds.
Professor John Henry Clark here on WBAI. That concludes Vantage Point for this 7th day of May, 2018. Thank you so much for tuning in. Dr. Daniels had asked for those BAI buddies. We're still asking you to call up now and support WBAI. Support Vantage Point with a call to 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. Become a BAI buddy. Become a sustaining member for as little as $10 a month. And of course, we have to always say you can pledge more if you're able to do so. If your circumstances will allow you to do so, you can pledge more. But do make that call right now. 516-620-3602. This is commercial-free WBAI, listener-sponsored WBAI in the center of the FM band in New York City. We're here thanks to listeners just like you. 516-620-3602.